If you then, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, if you'd stand for the reading of the Word of God, desire your prayers tonight as we continue our series on biblical fundamentals. And tonight we'll cover one of the offices of the church, and that is the pastor. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to assert authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Chapter number 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. If the Lord will help me, we want to cover this thought tonight. There's a lot to be preached in here. I don't know if this will be a one-part or a two-part. I'm going to try to get through all of these verses. But there's a lot of preaching to be done on the subject of the pastor. One of the two offices of the church between pastor and deacon. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us. God, I pray that you'd give me wisdom and words to say. Lord, I pray you'd move me out of the way, God, and I pray that you would have yourself high and lifted up. God, you said if you'd be high and lifted up, you'd draw all men unto yourself. And God, I pray tonight you'd forgive me of my sin. Lord, I pray that you would help me, God, to make myself low so you can be high. Help me, Lord, to decrease so you can increase. And Father, I pray that you'd gain glory through everything we do tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to rightly divide the word of truth. God, help me to study, show myself approved unto you, to be the man of God you want me to be. Help us tonight, Lord. And we'll ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We find in 1 and 2 Timothy what many call the pastoral epistles. It is letters written from Paul the Apostle to young Timothy, what the Bible calls Paul's son in the faith. It is a younger man that is trying to learn after the old man of God, and I believe that's exactly right. If you don't have any heroes in your life, and if you don't have somebody that you can learn from, and you can gain wisdom from them, and you can gain some knowledge from them, I would encourage you to find someone in your life that you can not only pattern yourself after, but to learn from them and have wisdom from their life. Because there are many that have gone on before us. For a man of God, I think about many pastors in this area. Some of my heroes are pastors in this area. My pastor, Keith Watkins. I think about Brother Bradley Boone. I think about Ricky Wolf. I think about Timothy Rupert. I think about many others. I think about Brother Darren Waldrop. I think about Warren Williams, who's gone on to glory. I think about many of those that have gone on before us that we can go behind and learn from, and we can gain knowledge from their lives. And I'd encourage you tonight, male and female, find those people in your life that you can learn from them, that they are more godly. Hey, I'm not saying that we're not godly, but we ought to find someone that has that higher standard, that has gone on, that has learned more than us. We ought to find those people and learn from them as we should. Amen. And I believe a pastor ought to find men of God that he can learn from as to not make some of the same mistakes. You see, many pastors, I believe that their wisdom comes through observation and mistake. Amen. A lot of the things that I've learned already in the short time of me being your pastor has come from observation and through my own mistakes. Amen. It's all right to admit that we make some mistakes. But my friend, I believe the Word of God has application here not only for the pastor, but for the people of God as we learn about this office of the church. So the big question is tonight, I believe, is the first question should be, who should be the pastor? Who should be the pastor? Who should it be? Should it be him? Should it be them? Should it be somebody else? Well, my friend, I want to show you what the Bible says. We do not stand on anything but the King James Bible. Holler amen right there. Amen. We don't going to teach anything but the King James Bible. We're not going to tell you anything but the Bible, because nothing else will stand. God said that He preserved His Word, and on nothing else will we stand, teach, or learn but the Bible. And the Bible says in verse number 11, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Now move on down to chapter number 3. "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife." Now let me tell you something. I know we live in a day that is trying to blur the lines of society and trying to change things and trying to make things different and try to merge everything together. But God intended things to be one man and one woman to be married for one lifetime. And what else? Nothing else, my friend. He intended it to be man and woman. He intended it to be boy and girl. He intended for your little boy to love trucks and love playing in the dirt. And He intended for your little girl to love playing with dolls and love putting on dresses. You don't know why? Because that's the natural thing that God has placed on the inside of every person. Amen. Holler amen right there. That's the truth, my friend. This world is trying to brainwash you into thinking that, well, it's all right if they like this or like that. It's because they were born that way. My friend, ain't no boy ever been born thinking that he was a girl. Hey, that's called being confused as a child. And what they need to know is what the Word of God says and what God intended for their life. You know what? To straighten out a lot of problems is teaching from the Word of Almighty God. Amen. Not what these school teachers, Mr. and Miss Pervert, trying to teach your kids. Amen right there. I thank God for some good teachers that go to church and they try to do their best to straighten those other problems out. But my friend, this world has an agenda, and you and I better realize that it's time to get serious. It's time to lock in. It's time to learn. It is time to teach our children so they know the way that God has designed for them to go. Amen. Amen. We've lost a generation because we've quit teaching the Bible. We've quit teaching the Word of God. We've took it out of the schools. We've took it out of the courthouse. We've took it out of everything. We'll just do our own thing. We'll be our own judge. We'll be our own God. My friend, God never intended that to be. Amen. So how in the world could a woman be the husband of one wife? Now listen, I'm not here to get into debate tonight. I'm not here to try to debate anything. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says. Do we believe the Bible at North Hazelwood Baptist Amen. Church? Amen. And what the Bible says, a bishop, that means to be an elder. That means to be a shepherd. That means to be the pastor. It says he is to be the husband of one wife. God never has and He never will call a woman to preach. Amen. 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 And it ain't because we're Baptist. It ain't because we just think that. But it is because I'm telling you the entire counsel of the Word of God.
line on line, precept on precept, not what we want to hear, not what we feel like hearing, but because it is part of the Word of God, and we're not going to skip over it. We're not going to go around it. The Bible says, let him be the husband of one wife, and that the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. Throughout the entire Old Testament, you will not find one female prophet. Amen. Throughout the entire New Testament, you'll not find one female preacher. And if it's not in this Bible, we are not going to take part in. Amen. So who is to be the pastor? The pastor is to be a man. But not only that, he's to be God's man. He's not just to be a man, but he's to be God's man. Paul said, I thank my God who counted me faithful. I'm just going to read it to you right here. It's in chapter number 1, verse number 12. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. My friend, if somebody's going to be a pastor, if they're going to be a preacher, he is going to have to be a God-called man. It's not a choice. It's not man's decision. It's not what he wants to do. But when God grips the heart of a man and lets him know that he has a work for him to do and it's time to step it up and to submit to the call of God, it is something that is not of this world. It is something that I cannot drum up. I cannot make it up. I cannot fix it up. But it's something that God does in the heart of a man, and he calls him to the ministry. It's not something I choose, it is a call. And if a pastor is going to be a real God-called pastor, he must be put into the ministry by God. The pastor's to be a man. The pastor's to be a God-called man. I know that there is a lot of argument in the day that we live about that. Well, Paul was a sexist and a misogynist, and he didn't like women. He was being ugly when he said that. Well, my friend, then why did he say in the second letter that he wrote to Timothy that he was exalting Timothy's grandmother and mother and exalting them as almost a hero of the faith? Amen. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he write in this letter to honor the women who had lost their husbands? And to take care of them, and to love them, and to be there for them. My friend, Paul wasn't no sexist. He wasn't a misogynist. All these words the world wants to use, my friend, you know what he was? He was a Holy Ghost-filled man of God who was moved by the Holy Spirit to let us know that the pastor is supposed to be a God-called man. Amen. Not because we think so, because the Bible says so. Amen. I think about the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, God said, God Almighty, from the lips of God, he said, I will give you pastors from mine heart, and if they'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. They'll give you what you need, but I'm going to have to send them. The pastor's got to be a man. He's got to be a God-called man. But the pastor has to be made in God's image. What qualifies? What qualifies a God-called preacher to be the pastor of a church? The pastor must be made in the image of God. Now let's look in the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter number 3, this is a true saying, if a man, there it is again, desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. You know what Paul addresses here first? He said, he must, not he might, not he can be sometimes, but he said he must be blameless. I believe there's a couple of applications here that we can use. First of all, I believe that a God-called man, he will be saved. Amen. He'll be saved by the grace of Almighty God. He'll have a time and place in his life that he can go back to and he can look at and say, this was the time, this was the place that God dealt with my heart, and I came to him by faith and received the free gift of salvation. He'll be blameless before God. He'll be saved. But not only that, I believe that a pastor will live a life outside of the church that will be right before God. I believe he'll live a life that is right in the eyes of God. I believe he'll live a life that is not cussing, it is not drinking, it is not going places that he shouldn't, it is not doing things that are ungodly, but it is a life that is blameless, just like Daniel had. The Bible says that he was upright in his generation, he was perfect. That don't mean he was sinless, but he had a testimony before men that he was right in the eyes of God. A pastor will have a testimony outside of the church. He'll be blameless. Not only that, look what the Word of God says. It says the husband of one wife. God intended when you stood at the marriage altar and you looked at your bride and you said, I do, and they said, they do, and you made those vows to one another and to God Almighty, it was to stay with that spouse the rest of your life. Amen. Marriage in the day we live, I believe it's become a joke. It has become something that everybody just laughs at. If it don't work out, we'll just get divorced. We'll move on down the road. We'll just make relationships with everybody. We'll change it up. We'll move it around. No, my friend, God has a perfect relationship for you and one woman and you and one man for the rest of your life. And my friend, I believe a pastor, if he gets married here and he goes down the road and he gets divorced and gets married again and then he goes down the road and gets divorced, my friend, how in the world could God ever trust him to stay faithful to the bride of Christ? The church. That's why when people say that, my friend, when pastors, preachers, whoever it may be, they're trying to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, and they say a man of God that's been divorced cannot pastor. It's not because we're being ugly. It's not because we don't love those men. But it is because the Word of God says it cannot happen. Amen. The husband of one wife, he's got to be blameless. My goodness, there's so much preaching to do in here. We're going to try to get through. But he's to be vigilant and sober. Now, when you look at these words, you look at the word vigilant and sober. When you study these words in the Hebrew and Greek, you'll find that they are derivatives to one another. That when you see the word sober, it can often lead over into the word vigilant. When you see the word vigilant, it'll lead over into the word sober. You know what that means? It means to pay attention. It means to be alert. It means to be on guard and to be watching all the time. To not be caught sleeping on the job. My friend, I believe if a man's going to be a pastor, he's going to have some standards in his life, that he's going to watch for the people of God. He's going to pay attention for the people of God. Hey, my friend, when me and my wife, if you're a woman in here and my wife texts you and says, we missed you at church, I hope you're doing good. And I text you and say, we missed you at church, hope you're doing good. That's not me being ugly. That's not her being ugly. That's not us being nosy. But it's because we're trying to be vigilant. We're trying to be sober, because the Bible says your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. You know who's God, who God has chosen to watch over you, as the book of Hebrews says? I don't know why he did. I don't know why he's led me, but it is my job to pay attention and to watch over your soul. And if a pastor's going to be right before God, he's going to have to be sober and vigilant and pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to those that are in the altar. Pay attention to those that are present. Pay attention to those that are weeping. Pay attention to those that won't come. Pay attention to those that do come. Pay attention to the songs that are sung. Pay attention to what's said. We must be sober and vigilant. Amen. Not only that, but of good behavior. Of good behavior. I believe that goes together with that blameless right there. Of good behavior. That is a testimony outside of the local body of believers. That's a testimony. Paul says it two or three times here that he needs to have a reputation outside of the church that is right before God. Hey, I ain't saying that any of us are perfect and no pastor is. Amen. We all make mistakes and we all do wrong. We all going to mess up. We all got sin in our lives. But I do believe that we can live a life, that I can live a life of good behavior. I don't have to do the things I used to do. Don't know why? Because I've been changed by the grace of God. I'm not saying I don't have things in my life that need to be gone, but I'm just saying tonight that I want to have a testimony before God and before men, that I try to live a life that's right. I try to live a life that's holy. I try to live a life that is good. I try to live a life that is of good behavior. You know what behavior is? It's how you act in front of other people. You know who I've met in the short time that I've been your pastor, and things change when you become a pastor, I'm learning, and your relationships change with other people. There's people that are going to be happy. There's people that are going to be mad. There's people that are going to be sad. There's people that don't really care. But I'm learning, my friend, that people and preachers and pastors will behave differently when they are in front of you. They will. I've met some pastors that I thought the world of. Here lately, I thought the world of them. And when I met them, they were mean as the devil. Amen. I'm just calling it how it is. I don't want to be that way. Amen. God help us to not be that way. Hey, a pastor should never be any different as he is in the church house, as he is at his own house. Hey, if I'm on the porch talking to Brother John after the service, and then he comes to my house or I go to his, and we talking on the porch at our house, the conversation ain't going to change. You want to know why? Because we ain't supposed to do that. The Bible says, meddle not with a man given to change. Don't even be around him. Don't spend no time with him. You stay with yours. Let them stay with them. You run your race for God and we'll do what we need to do. My friend, I'm glad tonight that I ain't got to worry about another pastor. I ain't got to worry about another preacher, that I can set my plow deep. I can plow on for God until the sun sets in my life. I can try to be the same. I can try to serve God. My friend, it is my job. God help me tonight to be the same everywhere I go. I don't want you to see a different man in the fellowship hall that you're doing here. I don't want you to see a different man at the gas pump as you do here. I don't want you to see a different man as you do at my house, or whether we're here, wherever we are. I want to be the same. Amen. It needs to have good behavior. Not only that, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Given to hospitality, that means to welcome guests. To welcome guests. Unexpected guests. That's what it says. Pastor, I got something I need to talk to you about. Well, I ain't got time for that right now. I have to get with you later. Oh, no, my friend. It's time to do it now. You'll know why? Because the needs of the flock are pressing. The needs of the flock are pressing. I believe that a man that is God called and the right pastor, he'll be given hospitality. He will welcome unannounced guests. He will. And if he don't, God will wake him up and make him do it. Amen. The other night, me and my wife was in the bed. It was 4:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the a.m. This is the God's honest truth. If I'm lying, I'm dying. 4:30 in the morning. And I shot up in the bed, wide awake, and she did it the exact time. Exact same time. And 30 seconds later, as we were talking, wondering what was going on, 30 seconds later, my phone lit up in the darkness and went. And I got up and went and looked at it, and it was somebody needing something right then. That ain't coincidence. That's being apt to hospitality. That's being given to hospitality. They're a guest. If they need something, that's what we're going to do. Amen. Apt to teach. A pastor must be able to teach. He has to have the ability to teach. And I'm trying my best to learn how to do that as well as preach. And I want you to understand the difference between teaching and preaching. Teaching is imparting truth to the listener. But preaching brings the listener to a decision. Does everybody understand? Teaching. I know I'm preaching different. Y'all can still say amen. God help. It's like crickets in here. Amen. I'll just start preaching on everything. Amen. Teaching is imparting truth to the listener. Imparting truth from the Word of God to the listener. But preaching brings that listener to a decision. The Bible says in the book of Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if they're going to hear, you know what Paul said? They're going to have a preacher. Amen. Thank God for a preacher. I'm not exalting myself tonight, but what I am telling you is I thank God for men of God that preach to my soul, and they not only imparted truth to me, but through them the Holy Ghost brought me to a decision before God. But a pastor must be apt to teach, must be ready at any time to impart truth from the Word of God to a listener. Must be ready at any time. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We need to study our Bibles. I'm doing my best right now. I was telling my wife the other night, I want to memorize more Scripture. I want to know it more. I want to have it more on my mind, more in my heart. I want to have it more all over me. I want to be saturated with it when I wake up, when I go to bed at night, when I'm going through my day. I want the Word of God to be richly dwelling within me, because the Word of God will allow you to teach when it is necessary. And if a pastor is going to be right before God, he has to be apt to teach. My goodness, there's so much to get through. Oh my. I hope y'all are staying with me. I know this is different, but I'm trying my best tonight to be apt to teach. If I asked you in here tonight, what are my qualifications, and we were not going through this, and I said, I need you to tell me my qualifications, am I within them, could you tell me? Could I have told you if you asked me before I did this study? The reason we're doing this is because we need to know why we do what we do. Why do you have a pastor? Why am I up here? Why do I do the things I do? Why do we have the offices of the church? We dealt with it the past few weeks. Why do we pray? Why do we do baptism? Why do we have communion? Why do we have these things that we do? Tonight, I'm trying my best to be apt to teach. Not given to wine, verse number 3. It ain't been right, and it won't never be right, not only for a pastor, but for a born-again believer to pick up alcohol. And that ain't because we're Baptists. That ain't because we think so. But the Bible says, not given to wine. Amen. The Bible goes, in the Word of God, you'll find it from beginning to end, not to be given to strong drink. That wine's a mocker, and you'll be deceived by it. Amen. It ain't right, and it won't never be right for somebody that's saved and born again to alter their state of mind and their physical state with something that makes them something that they're not. It won't never be right. And a man of God that's going to be God called and the right pastor, he's not to be given to wine or any alcohol. No striker. Now, I had to look that word up today because I wasn't sure what that meant. I didn't know if that was actually like punching somebody or if that was just, I didn't know what it meant. I was trying to figure it out. I don't know a whole lot, but I was trying to learn it. And I was looking at these definitions. What's it mean in the Greek? What's it mean in Hebrew? What does it mean? What's the world say it mean? What do I think it means? I was trying to figure it out. And I was looking at this. It said no striker. And what that means is to literally punch. Now, I'm not talking about a physical punch. I believe that Paul right here, as I was praying and trying to discern this through the Word of God and through the Holy Ghost dwelling in me, I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what this means. And I believe that this means right here is God has dealt with my heart not to beat the congregation. Do not beat the congregation. I know there's things sometimes that may rub people the wrong way, and when a man of God gets up and he's going to preach the Bible, and if you're going to preach the Bible or teach the Bible, there's some things that are going to be in this book that are going to rub people the wrong way. Amen. Right there, I had a man come up to me not too long ago, heard one of the messages, and he walked up to me somewhere else, and he handed me a cough drop, and he said, "Son, this, sir, you'll sweeten up next Sunday." And I said, "God help you, sir." My friend, I was trying to preach and help the congregation, but I guess there's something that rubbed him wrong. Hey, it bothered me so bad I went to my prayer place. I said, "Lord, did I say something wrong?" But my friend, you know what the Holy Ghost showed me? If we're going to be men of God to preach the Word, if we're going to be men of God to call out sin by name and to preach Christ sweet and to preach hell hot, there's going to be some people that are not going to like it. Amen. But when I'm up here preaching, I want you to understand that I'm not here to beat you down. I hope you've seen my heart by now that I love you. I hope you've seen my heart by now that it's just my desire to do what God wants me to do. It's just my desire to do just that. I don't want to do nothing else. I don't want to do nothing in between. I just want to do what God wants me to do. And the Bible teaches pastors, preachers, God called men that we are to speak the truth in love. I'm telling you tonight, I love you. But if something comes across this pulpit that rubs you the wrong way, God help it. God help me not to have said it in an ill or angry way. I heard a man say one time, he said, "I'm an independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James only, sweat-wiping, bug-eyed, high blood pressure Baptist preacher, but I am not mad about it." Amen. I've heard a lot of men that are mad about it. They're mad at everybody. They're mad at everybody. For Brother Corey, our job is to not be striker, not to beat the congregation. It's to tell them the truth in love. Don't be a striker. Not greedy of filthy lucre, verse number 3. I don't even know how long we've been going tonight. Somebody hold up their hand if it gets too late. Not greedy of filthy lucre. You know what that is? That's money. A man of God's not to be greedy. A God-called pastor, he's not to be in it for a paycheck. Amen. And I thank God tonight. I want to glorify my Heavenly Father that I had a pastor growing up that I saw him get in the traces week in and week out, and he preached hell hot and heaven sweet. He preached against sin, and he preached everything in love. He said things that were hard, and he said things that were sweet, and he preached when I was doing good and doing bad. He preached when the house was full and when it was just a handful, and he preached not for the fear and favor of man, and he didn't do it for a paycheck. Thank God. I saw that man serve when he wasn't really making nothing. And I thank God for a pastor that'll stand up and preach the Bible, not for a paycheck, not for money, not for adoration, not for man's favor, and not for the fear of man neither. But I thank God that I can preach tonight with something down on the inside of my heart, and it ain't about a paycheck. Hey, I'd just about pay you tonight to listen to me holler and scream. Thank God that I get to preach tonight, and it ain't about a paycheck. Hey, it ain't about money. It ain't about the filthy lucre. It's about winning people to God. It's about telling people about Jesus. It's about preaching the gospel. And if anything else ever what makes a man want to preach, God help his sorry soul, I pray God takes me out of the pulpit. If I get to doing something for money or I get to doing something for man, God help us to preach without man's fear, without man's favor, because I ain't about the filthy lucre, my friend. God help us tonight. I'm telling you, I've got something churning down on the inside. I'm tired of seeing men bounce from church to church and bounce from place to place. Well, we've got money for you here. Well, we've got a paycheck for you here. God help, why don't you just plow where God's put you, bloom where you've been planted, and do the work of God. He'll bless you for it in the end. God help me tonight to never be in it for the filthy lucre. It ain't about being greedy. It ain't about wanting money, but it's about doing what you've been called to do. Patience. I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory. We're going to have to move on. Not a brawler. can't have real high temper. As I read definition after definition, that's to get into confrontation very easily. We're supposed to be like the Lord Jesus. And you know what he said? He said, "Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." The only anger that Jesus ever had was a righteous anger. It was a righteous indignation. When those money changers and those people that were selling doves and they were selling all kinds of stuff in the temple, he went in there and the Bible says that he platted a cord of whips together and he drove them out of the temple. And he preached against what they were doing. And I believe there's some things that ought to tear you up. I believe there's some things that ought to tear me up and bother me. Amen. I believe there's some things that ought to bother us if it don't line up with the Bible. We ain't got to go fighting everybody about every little thing. We ain't got to go hating on everybody and attack people for everything they do that we just don't like it. A man of God that's going to be the right pastor in God's eyes, he can't be a brawler. Not covetous. Don't want everything that everybody's got. Don't want their church. You bloom where you're planted. You plow where God's put you. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. He ruleth well his own house. Now understand that ruleth well, it does not mean to be a dictatorship. It don't mean that when you come home and you roll down the driveway that your wife and kids get nervous and get to cleaning the house because they nervous that you coming home. They just sit there when you come in, don't even talk. They nervous. You done made them walk on eggshells. That is not what the Bible means when it says to rule your house well. That's not what the Bible means. That means that a man of God is to step up and to lead his home in the right way according to the Word of God, and to do it the way that Christ has set it up. As you read in Ephesians chapter number 5, you'll find that God has set up an order that the man is supposed to be the head of the house as Christ is the head of the church, and that he is supposed to love his wife and lead her in the way that he needs to. And the wife is to be in subjection to her own husband, and to reverence him and to respect him, and to understand that when he's leading and when he's trying to take the family in God's direction, you're not to bow up and to get mad, but you're supposed to just say, "I'll trust you because you're trusting God, and we'll go the way the Lord wants us to." My friend, it is my job tonight, if I'm going to be the right pastor, that I'll lead this woman the way that I need to. I ain't going to let sin in our home, that I'm not going to let people lead us, but I'm going to let God lead me, and I'll lead her, and by the grace of God, He'll bless us for it. Thank God that I've seen some men of God that have led their homes, they've led their wives, they've led their children all the days of their life, and God has blessed it. God's had His hand on it, and thank God tonight we've got instruction from the Word of God for a pastor to lead his home.
Verse number 5. "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" If you can't lead your home as you are to be the head of the house, as Christ is the head of the church, and your wife is to be in subjection to you, and so are your children, until they leave the nest, my friend, you know what's going to happen? If you can't do that, if I can't do that, if pastors cannot do that, how in the world are we supposed to lead the church? If I'm not leading this woman right here the way I need to, outside of these walls, I ain't going to be able to lead in here. And may I say this, men, if you don't lead her, if we don't lead her, I believe that we wonder why so many times the marriage relationship is so sour and so messed up. And it's constant bickering, it's constant complaining. "Well, I want to do that." "Well, we ain't doing that." "Well, we're going to go do this." We've dealt with a marriage relationship already in Ephesians chapter number 5. I just feel God stirring in my heart to say this. Men, if we will lead our families and our wives the way that God has commanded us to, things will get a lot smoother along the way. Because she ain't going to feel like she has to constantly lead herself. You know what happens? If a shepherd don't take the sheep to water, they're going to have to go and go and go and go until, God willing, hopefully they find it. And if not, I reckon they'll die. That's just what's on my heart tonight.
Man, we've got to be ready to lead our families. We've got to be ready to lead our families. I mean, God knows tonight, I ain't trying to lie to you. I don't do everything right. Lord, no, I mean, my wife tells you she's probably got a list of 100 things I need to get worked out. I need to get fixed up. But I'm telling you tonight, it is my desire as your pastor inside of my heart that I would lead her the way I need to, that I'd keep the Bible in the home, that we wouldn't let open sin in the home, that we would do things the way God would have us do them. It's my desire tonight, Lord, that God is my witness, that we would serve the Lord the way we need to. You don't know why? Because if we're not doing it right, the church ain't going to be right. Not a novice. What time is it? Not a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Not a novice. Now listen, that don't mean to not have experience. Because God knows I don't have a whole lot of experience tonight. And I understand that I'm young, and if I had a nickel for every time somebody told me that, I'd be able to build us a new sanctuary. Amen. But I can tell you this tonight. What this word means, if you study it, it means to not be a young convert. It means to not be a, I guess you could say, a babe in the faith. A child in the faith. To have just be freshly saved. You want to know why? Because you just saw what it's like to be converted yourself and to enter into the sanctification process. And I believe if a man was to pastor directly after that, I mean, God knows he could. And if the Lord was working in the situation, he could. But the Word of God commands us is that we would learn as we grow. We would grow as we go, and God would show us the things we need to learn. I thank God for the days in my life as a young man. I wanted to preach more than I wanted to live. And I wanted to get out of Pleasant Hill. I wanted to go preach all over the place, but the Lord knew that I wasn't ready for that, and God knew that it wasn't time for all of that. It was time for me to learn. It was time for me to grow. It was time for me to understand that I need to watch my man of God, and I need to learn from him. I need to see the things he's done right. I need to learn from the things he's done wrong. I need to learn from him. A pastor is not to be a novice in the faith. Brother Zach Bailey, he's been here and preached for. He was saved for a long time, and he got, well, not a long time, but he was saved for a while, and he got out in the world, and he was trying to live in sin still, and the Lord intervened in his life, and he'll tell you he was trying to do things still that he was not supposed to do, and he handed over his life to God, and about a year after that, God called him to preach. And a little while after that, he's in his first church. And he didn't have no pastoring experience. I know he wouldn't mind me telling this tonight. He didn't have no pastoring experience. He didn't have a whole lot of time watching the man of God. But what he did have was that salvation, free and full, that was learning him and teaching him throughout the days of his life. Yeah. If a pastor is going to be right in the eyes of God, he can't be a novice in the faith. He'll fall into the traps and snares of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. That are those on the outside of the church. What do the people at our job say about the pastor? They say he's mean as the devil. He's supposed to be pastoring a church, though. What do they say about pastors? I hope to goodness that people say he's the same. All right, we're going to move on right here and be done. Is everybody still with me? Amen. I ain't run out of something to say. I'm just giving you time to breathe. Amen. What qualifies him? Who's the pastor supposed to be? He's supposed to be a God-called man. He's supposed to be made in the image of God. Doesn't that sound like Christ? I mean, doesn't that sound like the Lord Jesus Christ? He's blameless. He's a husband of one wife. He's the head of the church. We are his bride. He's a husband of one wife. He's always paying attention. He's vigilant and sober. He's never done anything wrong. He's of good behavior. He's given hospitality every time I've come in unannounced. And I said, Lord, I need something. He's been right there to help me. He's apt to teach and give me what I need from him. Hey, you ain't going back the living word in a corner and you don't know what to do. He'll always know what to do. He'll always know what to tell you. He's not given to wine. He's no striker. He is all of these things. So we're to be made in the image of God. But what is the job of the pastor? We're going to be done right here. What is the job of the pastor? The pastor is not only to be
a God called man, he's to be made in God's image, but he is to mind the flock. He is to mind the flock. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 17, obey them that I have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Proverbs 27:23, be thou diligent. Now that's that vigilant and sober again. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. You know what the job of the pastor is? Best I can find it. To be the under-shepherd of the herd that God has given. You know what else I can find that's our job? To preach the Word of God. You know what Paul told Timothy? He said, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. With all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time has come, or the time will come, and the time has come, that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. You know what our job is as a pastor? It's to preach the gospel. To preach the Bible. To preach the Bible and to mind and care for the flock that God has given us. God has given me the flock here at North Haven. I don't believe no preacher worship or nothing like that. I ain't nobody. I know that tonight. I mean, as God is my witness, I know that I ain't nothing without Him. And I know I got a lot of things to learn and I'm young. But what I'm saying tonight is that God is the chief shepherd, but He has placed me and put me as the under-shepherd of North Hazelwood Baptist Church. And tonight, by the grace of God, it is my desire that we would care and watch over your souls as the flock that God has given me. That I would preach the Word of God, the whole counsel of the Word of God, line on line, precept on precept, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it hurts, whether it feels good, whatever it may be, it is my job as the under-shepherd, if I'm doing my job as the pastor, to preach the Word of God and to care for the flock. Biblically, that is my job. That is what must get my attention. That is what must get my energy. Now, if you're in a hospital, I'm coming to see you. You don't know why? Because that's what we do. We're a family. We're in the family of God. And the shepherd of the flock is to make sure the sheep are all right. But I heard Jeremy Simpson say just the other day, we've got to decide in the day that we live, what do we want? The pastor cannot be running around all the time when somebody stubs their toe or they got a hangnail to come right to their bedside to say, it's going to be okay, let me get you some Epsom salt and hot water. We're going to soak that toe right off of there. We'll get it fixed up and everything's going to be all right. Amen. That's not his job. Amen. But what he was saying was, would you rather, amen, y'all are still thinking about a toe, that's messed up. Amen, get your mind right. Oh my. Anyway, what was I talking about? Amen. The pastor. Would you rather have a man of God that's going to run to every single little thing, or a man of God that's in a secret place begging God for a touch? Begging God for the right word for you, for your mind, for your heart, for your soul. Amen. And we're going to deal with the office of the deacon here in a couple of weeks, and it bleeds into that. These offices of the church, the deacons taking care of those that are hurting and suffering, the widows, those that are without, and we're going to deal with that. But what I want you to understand is tonight, I have to make seeking the face of God my number one priority. Not for just my own well-being. Not for just what I want. but it has to be for the well-being of the flock that God has trusted me with. You know what the shepherd does? He watches over the sheep. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he watches over their souls. Let's read it again. We're going to be done. I'm going to read you Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. God knows tonight that any decisions that are made and anything that we do, I do not want to do it without the approval and the hand of God on it. There may be decisions that are made at some point in time at this church that as the under-shepherd I have to make. But those decisions are not to hurt the flock, but it is me trying to follow the chief shepherd and what he wants for the flock. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Sometimes those decisions, sometimes those conversations, sometimes those things that must be done, sometimes people ain't going to like it. Sometimes people are going to be upset. Sometimes people are going to get rubbed the wrong way. But it's a decision that's made by the hand of God, because there are things coming up down the road that I don't even know about, that you don't know about, that the pastor of the church does not know about. But if he does not follow the leadership and direction of the chief shepherd, you ain't watching for their souls. You don't know why it's so serious? Just what the Bible says. As they that must give an account. You know who's going to answer for every decision that's made in North Hazelwood Baptist Church when we get to the judgment seat? It's not Brother Ray or Jeff or Jennings or John or Stuart or Mark. I thank God for you men. But you know my heart tonight, as I tell you, I will have to give an account before our Heavenly Father of everything that happened in this place. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. You'll know why I ask you how you're doing. Now, sometimes as Baptists, if I asked any one of y'all in here how you're doing tonight, you know what you're going to say? I'm great. I'm doing good. And you've had 7 flat tires this week. You and your spouse are mad at each other. But you are going to say, I'm doing great. How are you? I know sometimes we do that. But when I ask you, you're doing good. It's not because I just want to know and know your business and I'm trying to be. No, no, my friend. It's because I'm trying to be diligent to know the state of thy flock. When my wife asks you ladies, how you doing? You got anything going on? You okay? Is there something going on? We're just trying to be diligent to watch the state of the flock.